I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
Ugh, another pointless video call where nothing gets done. I think you're on mute, David.
Sorry, what did I miss?
IT just approved Miro for the whole company.
Miro? That's the...
online whiteboard for team collaboration. We can make these long video meetings so much shorter with Miro boards. We can share ideas, feedback, and updates on them whenever. Actually see what we're talking about.
It's all online.
Miro will make our flexible work setup so much easier, with one virtual space for our brainstorms, projects, presentations.
Oh, that sounds kind of amazing. So I don't need to wake up for 6 a.m. calls with the London office anymore.
Now you're getting it.
Don't let time zones get in the way of your team working well together. See why 99% of the Fortune 100 trust Miro to get good work done from anywhere. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
This shooting in Uvalde is maybe one of the most confounding mass shootings, school shootings anybody's ever seen, because it's now been a week and nobody really knows the sequence of events exactly. And almost every day there's another contradiction. Nobody understands why the police didn't storm the classroom and shoot the killer. It's really, the whole thing's puzzling. We're going to talk now with Brad Garrett. He's the crime and terrorism analyst for ABC News, and we've got him. Brad, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Have you ever seen a case like this out of all the shootings that you must have covered and analyzed?
No. I mean, when this started to unfold, and I quickly realized that no one's going in the classroom, knowing, like we all know, that when mass shooters go into a school with an AR-15, they're going there to kill people, in particular students, in this case, children. And so even if he stops shooting, you now have mortally wounded 10-year-olds that may well be bleeding to death or dying from the wounds that they received from this AR-15. And you're standing outside the door. Now, I totally get that you may not have the ideal equipment, like ballistic helmets, ballistic shields, things that can protect you when you go in a door to go toward a shooter. But, you know, in a rural environment, you tend to have limited resources, and whatever professional tactical resources you may have are not readily available, which was clearly the case. I mean, they waited for Customs and Border Protection TAC team to show up an hour or so later, and then they immediately got their act together and went in and killed the shooter. And that should have happened over an hour before it actually did. So sorting out what people obviously didn't do, that's fine, but the reality is there is no excuse why they didn't go in. And if somebody's going to say, well, the commander there said we couldn't go in, well, when you have life and death situations, you sometimes have to ignore commanders and say, that's not right. People are dying. We're going to go in this room. But sadly, that didn't happen.
You must also be amazed, because stories are coming out that this school district police force led by this Pete Arredondo, they spent years preparing for a mass school shooting. It happened, and this was the strategy?
Well, you know, you had, I suspect, a composite of various departments, because that's what happens in small communities, because I think the Uvalde police may only have a half a dozen officers of that. But between the county police, the state police, and keep in mind that there's a lot of border patrol folks that probably live in Uvalde or close to it because it's close to the border. You have a lot of potential resources, and I think all of them responded to the scene. But why someone didn't, after less than 5 minutes, and I, in my view, say, we just can't wait, period. Let's get a key, or if somebody's got a breaching tool, let's breach this door and go in and deal with this guy. Knowing one of us may get shot, but you still have to stop him. That's the bottom
line. Well, because it's not that complicated. The only thing you can do to get him to stop and save the kids is go in and shoot him. There really aren't any other options.
Right. So that part of it's very simple. Correct.
So there's something that we're hearing that they thought the shooting had stopped, and they were trying to negotiate with him? Maybe get him on the phone?
That's just absolute malarkey. Look, I have worked dozens of hostage barricades, and even when they have live people that they're holding on the other side of the door, if they're not shooting anybody or harming anybody, you then have time. You have time to talk to him. When those turn south and you see that the shooter is about to become violent, then you have to send another TAC team, like almost immediately, to deal with the would-be shooter. But in this case, you already know that he's a shooter, and he has killed people, certainly, and mortally injured others. And you have to go take care of that. So if somebody wants to continue to make the argument that this was a hostage barricade or you're going to negotiate your way out of it, is like foolhardy, is what that is.
The story out there is that one of the 10-year-old girls called 911 repeatedly and said there are people alive. And obviously she was alive. And I heard a recording yesterday of a 911 operator relaying that message to somebody. Now, it got to the Uvalde town police, I guess, who were outside, but it didn't get to the Uvalde school district police who were in the hallway. Or didn't get to the police chief. I don't understand it. If somebody gets a message that, hey, a girl just called me, there's people alive in there, how does that not travel instantly between law enforcement with all the phones they have and the radios and just run in? I don't get that. Everybody just froze?
Well, it would be great to have that piece of information. But you didn't need that piece of information to go in that room. You already had enough information, which was there's kids shot and dying on the other side of this door, period. Every minute means somebody else could potentially die that you stand outside that door. That's how critical this is. And so you just go in. And that's what all of those law enforcement people are going to have to live with what they didn't do or what they didn't overrule someone who apparently told them not to do it. Because that's the only thing that makes any sense. Not that it's acceptable at all, but then somebody ordered them not to do it and nobody bucked it. And they just stood there and waited. I mean,
I think we're all amazed as this was unfolding a week ago Tuesday. The news was coming out slow, but I had assumed, and I think a lot of us did, that they did something to stop the shooter. It was days later when we found out that the timeline kept widening to the point now where I think it's 75 minutes before they breached the classroom. I mean, that's...
And then they even sent out all these false details. I mean, it seems like they even lied to the governor.
The governor was angry, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he started to compliment them. But anyway, it's just a tragic situation. I'm going to have to run to another hit, but
good.
I appreciate chatting with you guys.
Yes, thanks very much for coming on. It was good talking with you. All right,
it's Brad Garrett, ABC News crime and terrorism analyst in Washington, D.C. And as you heard him said, he has dealt with many of these shooting situations in his career. As he says here, he's done dozens of these high-risk entries. And this is not a case of, because this happens with other police situations, hindsight is 20/20.
No,
it's foresight. I mean, you practice these mass shootings, which apparently they did in Uvalde, Texas. Yeah, it's a small police force, an even smaller school police force, but there had to be somewhere in that training the belief that everyone is saying in law enforcement, heard Sheriff Ina Weva say this next week, you got to go in and stop the shooter immediately. Just got to. There's no other priority.
They had training as late as December 2021.
Stop the bleeding, as they say.
Yeah. It's one of a kind. Well, we've got more coming up. Anne-Marie Schubert running for California Attorney General. It's going to be our guest in the 5 o'clock hour. And don't forget that Joe Biden speech at 4:30.
I don't want to. I'm hoping he remembers Javier Baccarella's name by then.
That's our ratings magnet for the day. The Joe Biden 4:30 speech.
About the shootings.
About the shootings, yes. I'm sure he'll have something very thoughtful and sophisticated to offer us. John and Ken, KFI.
Yeah, reminder that you can use that app to connect to the Moist Line with the talkback feature indicated by the little microphone. And, of course, you can leave a message the good old-fashioned way on our toll-free number, 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. Tomorrow, in the 5 o'clock hour, we'll be talking to Rick Caruso, but we'll also play you the Moist Line calls during the John and Ken show. We've been talking about the school shooting in Uvalde, Texas, and how everything that could go wrong with the police response apparently did go wrong. It'll probably be a year from now before the reports come out from the Texas Department of Public Safety and the U.S. Justice Department, because they're going to be thorough and interview everybody 100 times. But it's pretty clear that it took 77 minutes to get inside that classroom and take out the shooter, and that is plain dead wrong. We have another story to add to this. You had mentioned before, and we played the audio yesterday, that a 911 dispatcher said they're getting calls from some kids inside the classroom about the shooter. It also turns out that one of the teachers who died, Ava Morales, actually was on the phone with her husband. Her husband is Ruben Ruiz. He's a school district police officer. This is hard to fathom. What we do not know is what he did with the information she was giving him, which is, I'm in here, I'm alive, there's a gunman, somebody save us. The person that told this story is a Uvalde County Judge, Bill Mitchell. He was briefed by sheriff deputies who were there at the shooting. And he told reporters that this police officer got a call from his own wife from inside the school, inside the classroom that was under attack, that you got to come do something. It's not clear, though, what he did with the information. Because if they're going to try to tell us, as you explained before, well, some of the district police officers were just outside the classroom, inside the school, some were outside the school, maybe only the cops outside the school had the information, but maybe the ones inside the school itself and outside the classroom didn't have the information. This is just hard to believe.
See, all of it's inexplicable because nobody had a sense of urgency to take action by moving forward into the class or spread the word. Every response was, stand there. Everybody just stood there.
Wait.
Stood
wait
there
for the
wait.
Tactical team. Wait for the key, which will be easy to get the door open than smashing it in.
And nobody said out loud, hey, there's probably some wounded kids dying in there. We should go get them. Or why don't we take him out before he starts shooting again? I just don't get it. Some kind of, I mean, were they all just scared?
And we told you that apparently across the street in a funeral home was this negotiator who was trying to reach the shooter on the phone, but he wouldn't pick up. If that isn't the worst, I'd say if he doesn't pick up the first time, get in there. Not that you should have even tried to call him, but how many times did you keep trying to call him hoping you could talk him out of this?
Did they have the wrong number?
I mean, there was a quote I saw the first day or two that they thought that he had just killed everybody and now it was just a barricade situation so we can wait him out until the tactical team gets here. But really? But as you've mentioned, everyone has, there was some 911 calls coming during this 77-minute period, you know, indicating otherwise.
You know what's just weird is that so much of this country is a nanny state. They're worried about every little thing. Oh, what happens if you breathe in secondhand smoke? Oh, what happens if you're indoors without a mask? You know, we've gone through 2.5 years of ultra nanny state. And then at other times, there's a guy shooting little kids to death and everybody stands and stares. We're a weird species.
Now, we're going to have Biden on at 4:30. He's scheduled to speak to the nation about the mass shootings and, of course, what to do in Congress with the laws.
What's he going to do?
We can tell you that they have one called the...
A gun lecture?
The Protecting Our Kids Act. That's what's being introduced in the House of Representatives.
What is that?
It would, among other things, raise the purchase age of an assault weapon from 18 to 21.
Okay.
Another attempt to crack down on large capacity magazines and the ghost guns. It does not include an assault weapons ban.
You know what? You could pass a lot of this stuff, rarely have I seen something which would directly have stopped the last shooting or the last 10 shootings. There's all these ideas going around. It's like, okay, do that. Make it 21 instead of 18, except, you know, some of these shooters got their guns from their parents. So I don't want, or you can borrow it from a friend. You know, it's sitting in the house.
The approach is we're not going to stop all the shootings.
But I don't know.
Nobody's ever saying
know.
That.
I don't
That's
know.
People for a perfect world.
I don't know if this stops any of the shootings, though. What stops shootings is when people take action when they realize they've got a lunatic in their midst. Like, how about a law that says if you know about a kid swinging a bag of dead bloody cats in the air, he's put in a mental institution. I mean, that you might get somewhere.
Well, funny you brought that up because it did happen here in California. A 16-year-old boy was arrested last week. Police got a tip. He was recruiting fellow students to carry out a mass high school shooting in Berkeley. Isn't that weird? The Berkeley Police Department said the tip came on May 21st. They were targeting Berkeley High School, not only with guns, but potentially with a bomb. They got a search warrant for the team's home, and parts of explosives and assault rifles were found in the kid's home. Knives, electronic weapon devices were also discovered on the scene. The kid turned himself in Monday. They have a mental health response team. So far, they're just charging him with possessing destructive materials and threatening to commit a crime.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know if this would have happened, but if it did, these are the stories you don't hear much about because this one may have gotten stopped.
You'll never know whether he would have followed through or not, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't happen. You intervene and you've changed the course of his actions. Just assume it was going to happen. Every time you hear about this, every time every kid, every parent, every teacher, every neighbor has a suspicion about somebody, go act on it. Do something. Go look on his computer. Go look in his closet, under his bed. Go search.
My question for you, though, is he's 16. How long do you think they can hold him on this stuff?
How long they can hold him?
How long? In the court of Cobalt, he's in the mental hospital for life, right? Is that your...
Yeah, until further notice.
until further notice.
Because do you think the guy with the bag of bloody cats who did this Uvalde shooting? Do you think there's any kind of treatment that would have fixed his brain?
I don't know. I don't think so.
No, there isn't. There's no treatment. I mean, you could put him on heavy, heavy psychotropic drugs, I guess, to turn him into a zombie. But I don't know how you know that he keeps taking them. See, it seems like he has a guy like that. Once you have the bloody cat bag, yeah, he's locked up for good until you give him a lobotomy. Maybe I think that'll bring back lobotomies for these kids.
Really, lobotomies? Wow, that's a good old term from the 50s.
Well, that'll do it. You ever seen film of people who underwent lobotomies? They're very docile.
But do they have much of a life, or?
Who cares?
Well, then you might as well execute them.
Well, that too.
You always have a reasonable solution.
Well, it's better than having the 19 kids dead.
It's better than taking away anybody's weapons. Can't be doing that.
Yeah. Well, go ahead. Try to take away the weapons. See what happens.
Well, I always call this a micro versus macro. The micro approach is to try to focus on the troublemakers like the 16-year-old Berkeley. The macro approach is what we're hearing from these Democrats in the House of Representatives. But let's just disarm everybody.
How are you going to do that? That's a great idea. Now, how do you do that? Because the people you want to disarm have the arms. You think they're going to go give up willingly?
They did this in Australia. They made people turn in their assault weapons. It was mandatory. I think they got a lot of them back, but we're not Australia.
We're not Australia. No. Go ahead, try. I mean, I'd like to see it.
All right, we got more coming up.
Go door-to-door in Texas and say, hey, give me your assault rifles. John and Ken, and Beto O'Rourke should try. That's his thing. KFI.
All right, in an hour or so, Biden takes over the KFI airwaves. Sorry about that, but we have to step aside for the old man to come out and talk about the mass shootings.
He's going to mutter to himself.
Gun laws. Oh, he's going to be angry, right?
No. Yeah, I like when he has that fake anger.
Yeah.
You can tell when he's trying to whip up some fury. Because I can't believe, he's almost 80. I can't believe he actually cares about anything anymore. I mean,
we saw real anger when he was on the campaign trail. Remember that? He challenged one guy to a fight?
Well,
he got worked up a few times. That's what he kept saying. Hey, man.
When you challenge his ego, yeah. But
come on, man.
Over a gun
no
issue,
joke.
50 years, everybody's been yelling about guns. I can't believe after 50 years, an 80-year-old guy still has the same passion anymore. He's realized he can't change anything.
Yeah. I wonder what his history is on voting for gun legislation.
He used to be
in the Senate for so long.
Well, he used to be a tough on crime guy. He wrote this infamous bill back around 1994 that put away thousands and thousands of criminals for drug crimes, federal drug crimes.
Yeah, we were overwhelmed at that time with
and he was really proud of
drug.
It. And then everybody started yelling at him that it was racist because it put a lot of black men
over-incarcerated young black men. Yes.
Right, and a lot of it was over the crack cocaine epidemic at the time. But he was the guy who sponsored the bill, whose staff wrote the bill.
Now, all right, boy, any day now, I think it's going to come this month. L.A. is finally going to release its homeless count numbers. We had a event today. Show you she's kind of desperate. Congresswoman Karen Bass, who's running for mayor, and her prime opponent that's left is Rick Caruso, the businessman. She has called on the U.S. Housing and Urban Development Secretary. She's got a great name, Marcia Fudge. Miss Fudge. Yeah. Came to L.A. today to get a firsthand look at homelessness.
What, she hasn't seen it before? I love this. Only has a firsthand look at people living in tents. People with needles sticking out of their arms. We've never seen this.
Yeah. Tackling the homelessness crisis through a housing first approach is a top priority at HUD.
Okay. Okay.
This is what Fudge said in a statement.
Well, she's
now we know where we're dealing, what we're dealing with.
She's fudged up. Housing first is another
failure.
Complete failure. So don't want to discuss this anymore. It doesn't work. There's no money. It's irrational.
But we have
irrational.
To talk about it because it's still what they're doing. And we have to get people to understand that has to be undone and reversed.
It's
The guy that says this well is Michael Schellenberger, running for governor, and he's our pick on the voter guide. Hopefully, he'll make it to the runoff in November against Newsom, and then miracles would have to happen. But anyway, he lays out the clear case in many of his writings and his work that housing first does not work. And the problem here in L.A. is that it's become more than housing first, because I saw a sign in a crowd, a picture I was looking at. Housing is a right. Housing is a right.
No, it's not. See, that's the thing. They make these proclamations, which are idiotic.
I just want to finish that. Even if we take that premise, we're now at the point where, oh no, housing could just mean, you know, shelter. We're going to get you indoors. We're going to try to get you back on your feet. It's moved beyond that, which is now we're at the point of absurdness. Now we have to build big apartment buildings with all sort of supportive services around it, right? Mental health therapists, work counselors, rooms where people can go to look for jobs. We can't do that. It's not practical. We don't have the money, particularly in neighborhoods of LA that are expensive, like on the West Side. It's not going to happen. It's a pipe dream. And that's why I'm really angry over this housing first thing, because that's where it's evolved. That's what it's evolved into. Because originally, for the last 10 years, it was just, all right, get them into a shelter. Just get them inside. Get them off the streets where they're likely to die. But now, that's no good anymore.
That's why you got to vote for people who are going to get them off the streets. And don't pay any attention to housing first candidates, because it's a fantasy. It's ridiculous.
And the other half of that is, even if you do put them into one of these nice buildings, they don't want any rules, all right? No curfews, no rules. Mm. Let me just go in there and do my thing. And you know what their thing's going to be? Yeah, back to drugs and drinking and all the other mental health problems that they have.
Right. And
you'll have just a disaster and a mess. That $800,000 apartment will look like a $100,000 place in a matter of months.
Garbage and defecation.
Yes.
Chaos and anarchy. Who called them feral human beings?
Someone did use that term.
It was a Moistline caller. What a wisdom. That's what they are. They've become feral human beings. I do believe when you're out in the wild like that long enough, it makes you even crazier. And you start start living the way wild animals live.
Yes.
And some of these people are probably too far gone. You can't put them in a house.
No, it's like Lord of the Flies.
Yeah.
That kind of idea.
So, this housing first crowd is completely discredited. It's a complete...
And that's the Bass campaign. That's what she's doing.
Yeah, well, of course she is.
If she wins, this is not going to change.
Yeah.
I think Caruso would take a more measured approach, trying to figure out what to do. Meanwhile, on the subject of the vagrants, oh, here's a goodie. They've arrested a transient Jack Stanley Seprish, 43 years old, on suspicion of setting nearly a dozen fires in Sonoma County. Nice. Of course, the only thing, you know, if you listen to our traffic reports here on KFI morning, midday, and afternoon, there's a homeless encampment fire somewhere. But what this guy did, and we're talking about up in the woods where these fires can really take off. You should see his booking photo. Holy mackerel. Talk about disheveled.
That's what I'm saying. You can spot these guys on the street. You know, when I take over, I'm just going to take all the weirdo guys and take them off the street before they start the fires. You look at them, you know they're insane. You know they're going to do something damaging.
They started off investigating him for burglarizing a home, but I guess when they looked further into his activities, they connected him to at least 10 separate brush fires. Doesn't say in the story if any of them became real infernos, but it's always possible because Sonoma County had its share of horrible fires. All right, we got more coming up.
John and Ken Show, KFI.
All right, coming up at 5:05, it'll be our last conversation before the vote on Tuesday. From the Sacramento District Attorney, Anne Marie Schubert, who would like to be your next California Attorney General. She is our easy pick for that post. It's our voter guide at KFIAM640.com, the John and Ken page. She is running as a no-party preference candidate, which is interesting because the incumbent Attorney General, his name is Rob Bonta, has been running ads trying to push people towards a Republican that's on the ballot. Not Anne Marie Schubert, in the hopes that that would be who he's in the runoff with, leading us to believe that maybe some of his polling tells us that if Anne Marie Schubert's his opponent in November, it may not be good for the incumbent.
She's a strong candidate. She's really, really strong recommendation for her. And you know, Bunt is kind of a weenie.
Speaking of weenies, Scott Wiener. Remember Scott Wiener, the Democratic state senator from San Francisco, one of John's all-time favorite politicians. Before that, it was Mark Leno.
I
don't know where he went.
He's particularly destructive. He's that vegan face guy.
Yeah, vegan face guy is really close now to getting the full legislature in Sacramento to pass the bill that would create sites where people could legally use drugs. Supervisors would be there to make sure they don't die from an overdose. This lame idea.
He is so destructive. He is so obsessed with all the worst elements in society and giving them comfortable homes in public places, public spaces. That's a public space. That's for everybody else.
The parallels to the homeless problem are pretty clear. This passed the Public Safety Committee in the Assembly yesterday, 5-2. This is what they approve of, right? They wouldn't approve of the bill we talked about recently. They would do something to the fentanyl dealers who are killing kids. But they're okay with the druggies injecting themselves as long as we're standby to save them.
Why do they want this?
Wiener said there has not been a single overdose death in the supervised sites. But here was the counter argument, which I thought was a good one, which brings us back to the homeless problem. Apparently, when you open these injection sites, you know what happens? It brings the druggies and they start setting up camp around the drug injection sites. And according to reports, that's where people are dying of overdoses.
Okay.
It's one of these things where you're enabling, just like the homeless camps. They opened up these sanctioned homeless camps. And what's been happening, like over in Venice, is a bunch of little mini homeless camps are opening up all around it.
But they know this. Okay. He's being deceptive on purpose by saying they're not dying at the injection site, but they're dying, what, a half a block away, 3/10
over? Well, he ignores that.
But why does he ignore it? What is in it for him, this movement, to get people more addicted and die in their tents? And we're going to have, is this going to be taxpayer funded? Are these going to be government employees helping people worsen their addictions so that they could die sooner?
The bill approves a pilot program for Los Angeles, Oakland, and San Francisco. And yes, I do believe it would be staffed by people paid through the government. Well, I would assume so. It would be probably contracted out.
And so they're gonna take like a neighborhood that's filled with homeless people and drug addicts and then make it worse. I mean, they're doing that.
Yeah, there might be one in Skid Row in downtown LA. That would probably be the perfect place for a safe injection site.
They've been doing this in the Tenderloin District in San Francisco. And it's attracted even more drug addicts and homeless people. And hardly anybody's been helped. There was a story in the Daily Mail of thousands and thousands of people are now passing through this open air drug market, and the government had some kind of facility there, and they only helped 17 people out of the thousands. And they know this. See, that's what I'm saying. They're consciously. They may have their talking points and their slogans, but they're creating a society where people are getting addicted to these horrific drugs and dying. Let's help them along. Boy, that's evil, isn't it?
Well, no, they think they're going to save their lives.
But they don't. But they know they don't. They're dying in the tents.
It's called giving up. No, I'm talking about the safe injection sites.
Yeah, I know, but
they want to bring those people you see dying in the streets from overdoses to the safe injection sites where they think they can save them from the overdoses.
Except eventually they won't. Eventually, they'll wander away from that site. They're not going to go to the site for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, one of the persons who objected to the bill said there should be some demand that they get treatment if they're going to come in here.
And by the way, who supplies all this treatment? Do we graduate tens of thousands of drug treatment experts every year? Is there the personnel to do this?
I also wondered, is this bring your own drugs or do we supply them with the drugs? I guess they bring their own drugs.
Well,
and you just have staff in there to treat them if they overdose.
How long before we supply them?
Well, there was that story last week that we talked about in the El Segundo Times. They've been doing series on this kind of things. And what I call the give up theory. There are some people that will never be able to break the binds of addiction. So we should just learn to live with that and try to make sure that they don't die of an overdose.
Well, they will.
That's
anyway.
That's the approach.
They will anyway. Do you think people live into their 70s and 80s when
if
they're addicted
been a drug
to
addict? No, they do not.
No, they don't. They die young. They almost all die.
They die young. They may not die of an overdose, but the body will be destroyed by the drugs eventually.
Right.
The organs.
Right. So you're engaging. You're helping out slow motion death. Painful death. And not only that, but a lot of suffering every day along the way. Why do you want to be part of that? I'm trying to understand motivations for people. Why do they get up in the morning and say, yes, I want to help people die early of an addiction, suffer more from the addiction. I want to make it more convenient. Scott Wiener wants to do that with his life. That's fascinating to me. It's of no use to the addicts. It's of no use to the rest of us, obviously. It fouls our peaceful public spaces.
It's hard to believe what's happening in the criminal justice system and now in the drug addiction arena.
Yeah, well.
That we now have a crowd of people, and they're often in charge, who say, let people just shoot up. We'll stand by. And the criminal justice system, nobody goes to prison. Nobody goes to jail. We let everybody out.
Right. Nobody would want their child to do this. Right? Nobody would want their teenage sons and daughters to end up like this. That's the one thing that horrifies nearly all parents, is that their kids on the sly will start getting addicted to drugs, and I don't get it.
All right, more coming up.
I really think they're evil, and they really should be thrown out of office. John and Ken Show. Deborah Mark has the news. KFI AM 640. It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
This week at Safeway, enjoy big savings with the BOGO sale, where select items throughout the store are buy one, get one free. With this week's BOGO sale, get select meats like Signature Farms 90% lean ground beef or boneless, skinless chicken breasts or thighs, buy one, get one free. Plus, select fresh produce items like 1 pound containers of sweet strawberries or containers of blueberries or buy one, get one free. Safeway, come in and explore and see what other deals you can find.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan, we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.